And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there was a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living among physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood staunched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" They all denied. Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." The woman saw that she was not hid, and came trembling, and falling down before him, declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and said, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father, please help these people to hear what you have said, what you have shared with us, what you've shown to us, what you've communicated to us in your scripture. Help me to be a faithful preacher of your gospel. Help me to listen to the Holy Spirit and comfort people with the words of your scripture. Most importantly, Lord, would you help us to hear your voice? We're asking you this in Jesus' name. Amen. From time to time, my youngest son, Jude, will ask me to fix something about his little game system. It might be something's not set up properly. It might be that there needs to be something put into the computer. All kinds of different things have got to be done. And usually it's a pretty simple request. It's not that complicated. But I must confess to y'all that the effort, the interruption, and the time investment that's required for me to do that, it puts me in a bad mood. In my defense, I'm not mean. I'm not outright mean. I don't cuss at him or anything. But it's pretty clear. I think Jude would confess to you if you ask him. He would say, "Yeah, it's pretty clear. Daddy doesn't want to do that." But you know what's interesting about that? Is that he keeps asking. You know why he keeps asking me? Now, I understand. I know y'all think I'm the worst dad in the world. I probably am. And I understand that. I'm just giving you a window into the home and into the household. But you know why he keeps asking me? Because I fix it. Because I get it done. Now, I make it complicated, I make it harder than it has to be, and I'm a bad father in the process, but I get it fixed. Now, how much better of a father do you have in the Lord? How much, when you go to him, will he fix it? And not complain, not huff, and not make you feel like you just interrupted something, the most important thing in the world. How much better is he? And I think in this passage, we're introduced to a situation, or rather two situations, that need some fixing. You've got a young girl who's about to die, and the story, she does die. You've got a an older woman who has got some kind of a blood disease, something wrong with her, that she continuously bleeds, it seems like. And this is something that both of these situations need something outside of them to come into the situation to fix some. So what does Jairus do? He goes to the one who can fix the problem. He goes to Jesus. What does the woman do? She goes to the one who can fix the problem. His name is Jesus. And I tell you that because, one, that's what the stories tell us here, but that's what Jesus does, is he fixes stuff. He fixes problems that are too far gone. He fixes broken things. He fixes broken situations. He fixes broken people. This is what Jesus does. And when he does it, you'll see in this story here, and I think you shall see it, and you will see it in your life, that he does this immediately, miraculously, and completely when he fixes things. And because I just want you to hear clearly that he does fix broken people, he does fix broken things, the first thing I want you to take from that truth is you should turn to him when you feel like you're all by yourself, when you don't feel like there's anybody else to turn to. You should turn to Jesus. The scene starts in verses 40 and 41 there. In verse 40, we see there's a lot of people around Jesus, but verse 41, we're introduced to a man named Jairus. He is in big trouble. His daughter is dying. She is on her deathbed. I don't know the particulars of that, but he did. It was bad. Let me tell you how I know it's bad. Not only is his daughter dying, which I think if there was anybody in here, had a 12-year-old girl, that's what she is, 12 years, had a 12-year-old girl in the house. You loved her, you cared for her, and she's dying. You're probably going to do anything you can to help her, aren't you? I think I'd be surprised if there's anybody in here that would not do that. But I tell you, one reason I know that he is desperate. Do you see who Jairus is in verse 41? He is a ruler of the synagogue. He's a ruler of the synagogue. First of all, he's a ruler, which means he's used to getting stuff done. He's the boss. He's in charge of some stuff. You all know how, if you've got a good boss, you know how that person is. That they're able to find the problem. They're able to get some people. They're able to get, y'all go do this, and everybody gets it done. He's used to snapping his fingers and things happening. But also, on top of that, he is a ruler in the synagogue. Do y'all know who the synagogue is? That's the Jewish leaders. Do y'all ever read the Gospels? Do you know who some of Jesus' biggest enemies are? It's the people in the synagogue. In other words, I can guarantee you, I don't know where Jairus stood on all this, but I can guarantee you, when he's at the synagogue meeting, the deacon's meeting of the synagogue, when he's in there having a conversation, I can guarantee you he is hearing, can you believe what Jesus did again? Can you believe what he said? Can you believe how he's acting? Can we not do something about this man? So I can guarantee you, if he's even seen in public with Jesus, he is going to hear it next time he's back in the synagogue with his buddies in the synagogue. Do y'all see that? That is a problem for this man. Yet what do I see him doing in verse 41? He comes and falls down at Jesus' feet. He begs him, please help me. He is in a situation where he is willing to put him, even though he's got plenty of resources, he's got plenty of friends, he's got plenty of things he can lean on, but he says, I'm not using any of those, I'm going to the one, even though that may mean I'm isolating myself from everybody, I'm willing to do it because Jesus can fix everything. Now, as they're going along, we're introducing the second person, this woman in verse 43. She's got an issue of blood. She's had it for 12 years. Now, interesting thing about this issue of blood is a bleeding disorder of some sort. Don't know all the details of it, but some kind of bleeding disorder. Do y'all remember what Jairus' job was? He's in the synagogue. You know, he's got something important in the synagogue. Now, this bleeding disorder, because they were Jews, this bleeding disorder would have put him, Jairus, in contact with a woman who has got blood, and it would have made him spiritually impure by coming in contact with her. He would have been in a position of not being able to do his job for weeks, a couple weeks anyway, however long it took, to become spiritually pure after coming in contact with this. So I think that's an interesting thing, that we've got this woman here, and it's actually going to mess Jairus up by even being there. But as I can tell, Jairus doesn't run away. He sticks around with Jesus. Of course, Jesus heals this woman. But I want you to see that she's desperately sick. You saw there that she's been going after these physicians. It's 12 years she's had this disease. These physicians are not able to help her. She does everybody she can. Nobody's able to help her. It seems, by the way that she's described, that she's probably out on the street. I mean, the fact that she even, the way she even comes at it, you'll see it in just a moment, but the way that she's even coming at Jesus, the hem of his garment. I mean, I couldn't touch the hem of y'all's dress or pants. I couldn't do that if I wasn't down low, which suggests to me, she's probably out potentially begging. She's probably out just trying to make ends meet. She's probably lost everything, that she has done everything she can to try to deal with this problem, can't deal with it, and there's nobody that's willing to help her. Nobody can help her. There's nobody around her. And she reaches out in verse 44 to the one person that she thinks can help her. She comes behind Jesus. She touches the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood is staunched. What's happening here is you've got these two people who have these desperate needs. Jairus, who has resources, but nobody can help him. You've got a woman who has no resources and nobody can help her. Do you know what's going on with Jesus at this time? There, if you read through there, you can see it. Like even Peter makes reference of it. It's like there's people all around Jesus. Jesus is thronged with people. There are people everywhere. And if I don't know how y'all are, but I'm like this. If I see somebody and I want to talk to somebody and they're over there in the middle of a group of people, I might say, I'll just wait, you know, maybe another time. Whether I should or not, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying that's just, you know, some of y'all are like that too. I think I know I am. And I'll just wait. I'll get another time. Maybe I'll call them later. Not going to bother. Jesus is in the middle of all that, yet he is walking with Jairus, and he is stopping and talking to this woman who has this issue of blood. All that simply to say that I can promise you that if you will turn to Jesus, he will be there when you need him. You may think, well, he's got a bunch of stuff going on. I guarantee you God's got a thing or two going on. I guarantee you that. But he will stop what he is doing, and he will be with you in your situation. I promise you that's what he does. That's what he did in this situation. You may have some friends around you that are what you might call good time friends. They're around you when things are going great, but I guarantee you when things go sour, they're not there anymore. You're going to have some people like that in your life. You may even have some people who are dear friends, but I promise you, and I don't mean to be a downer this morning, but I promise you, give it enough time, and those people won't be there, not because they don't love you, but because the passing of time takes things from us. It takes loved ones from us. There are people that you can think of right now that would be seated beside you that are not here, not because there's something wrong with them, but because that's what time does. That's what death does. It takes things from us. There's going to be a place, there's going to be a time where those people that you count on even today cannot help you. And I know that doesn't feel good to say out loud, but that's the truth of it. And we have to recognize that that's where that is, that we are going to be there. There's even some friends that you may even have around you now, family members, close friends, good, godly people that are around you that are well-meaning and will do the best they can. They will pray with you. They will cry with you. They will sit by you. But they cannot help you in those moments. There are some moments that I can tell you, you can say all kinds of stuff to me and it ain't going to do a thing to my situation. Now again, if y'all can't sympathize with that, well, Lord bless you. But let me tell you, I've been there where nobody, again, the best person in the world trying to help me, cannot help me. But then there's Jesus. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs says. And he's promised, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He is always there. And what he does, and only he can do, is he can fix those that are broken, including those of us that think we got our stuff put together, like Jairus. We got all our ducks in a row. We're the rulers of the synagogue. But he can also help those of us who are falling apart, like this woman, who she had nothing. But you can always count on Jesus, even when there's nobody else to count on. I promise you that. So first of all, we should turn to him when we are alone, but we should also turn to him when we're hurting. Go back to verse 42, if you don't mind, and look there, that this Jairus is coming to Jesus. He's got a 12-year-old daughter. It's his one and only daughter. Luke makes a point to point that out. I can't imagine that if he had 12 daughters, he would feel any less urgent about this, but he's got one. So he really feels urgent about this. This is my one girl, my girl. I don't want her to die. He says that she's laying dying. He is desperate. In fact, he uses the word there that he besought Jesus. He's begging Jesus. He falls at Jesus' feet. I mean, he is, if I didn't realize the gravity of the situation, I'd say, man, you're being melodramatic. You're being over the top. What is wrong with you? The reason he's acting this way is he's desperate. He doesn't see that there's any, he sort of feels like he's at his wit's end. I mean, he is willing to go to basically the enemy of the people that he runs with. It's their enemy, and he's willing to go there because he doesn't see any other hope. Then you go down to verse 43, and there's this woman who's got this issue of blood. She'd spent all of her living on physicians, and neither could be healed of any. This woman has been trying for a long time to get rid of this disease, but I want you to think about the nature of this disease. She's got a bleeding disorder of some sort. Don't know all the details of it, but I can imagine if she's losing blood on any kind of regular basis, she has got to feel weak as water. Y'all ever felt that? Y'all ever had some of that, those kind of things? Where it's just like the energy is draining out of you? I mean, if you lose blood, I mean, that's what happens to you. You don't feel right. So she is so weak, she has no strength. In fact, I actually think, if you look at how she gets Jesus' attention, go to verse 44. She's so weak, she has to come up from behind him. Now, I think it's clear where Jesus is, because there's a crowd of people around. It's not like she can't find him, he's right there. But she has to come up behind him because she missed him. She can't catch up with him. It goes on in verse 44 to say, she touched the border of his garment. Now, I know in her mind, I think it's in Mark, that Mark talks about how in her mind she thinks, okay, if I can just get a hold of his clothes, I can get healed by just touching him. So I know that's in her mind, but again, think about the border of his garment, the edge of his garment. She's not grabbing a hold of his sleeve. She's just getting the littlest bit of touch, but she can't get there. She's so weak, she can't do it. And then it says that she touched the border of his garment, and immediately her blood, the issue of blood, was staunched. What I'm trying to get you to see here is that she is low to the ground. She's trying her best not to be a bother, but she also cannot even get there because she's so weak. But in both cases, Jairus' case and in this woman's case, as the song says, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Because when Jairus comes to Jesus, what does he do? He goes with him. He's got a thing or two on his plate. There's a crowd of people around him. Everybody and his brother saying, come do this. Won't you help me with this? Won't you help me with that? And what does Jesus do? Okay, Jairus, which way do we go? Let's go. This woman, he's on his way to help Jairus, his daughter, and he stumbles across this woman. She touches him. And what does he do? He stops and he heals her. He heals her in this way, because what he even does. What's interesting is not only he knows in verses 45 and 46, he knows she touched him, but then he goes in verse 48. Listen to what happens. Here's a woman who I think is trying her best to stay out of the limelight. She's trying to stay out of all that. She's just trying to get the healing she needs. But then what Jesus does, he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. He actually goes ahead and blesses her and encourages her. He says, I know you felt weak. I know you felt at the bottom. I know you feel like you're useless and that you're a waste of space, but I want you to know that you're my daughter. He talks about her as his daughter. I love you. He encourages her. Jesus and Jesus alone is going to fix those that are broken. There's some that are physically dying. Maybe I'm not aware of it in this congregation, but there may be some at this moment. You may actually be dying. You might, if you aren't dying, there's some of y'all that feel like you're dying. You just feel so bad. And y'all, some of y'all been there before. You just can't even go. And I want you to know that whether you are actually dying or you just feel like you're dying, it's short term. It may be short-term pain or eternal pain, or it might be at the end of your life. I want you to know that Jesus absolutely cares about your hurting, and you can turn to him and he will help you in those times. There might be some of y'all that are more like emotionally dying. You're just sort of shrinking up on the inside, just think, oh my goodness, nobody cares, nobody wants me. I want you to understand that you can count on Jesus, especially in those times of intense pain, intense suffering. Now lastly, I'm going to show you this in a few minutes I've got left with you, because I want y'all to hear this really loud and clear. Let me set this up, make sure I explain why this is important to me. We talk about prayer. We talk about going to the Lord. And I believe God answers prayer. I believe God heals. We got to go carry. Glad the Lord has healed him. Glad that Sister Sandy is feeling some better, getting well on her way, getting all the way better. God does that. And y'all can probably testify to the fact that God heals time and again. He's done it. Some of y'all are even sitting here, testimonies to God's healing hand. You know that. Thank the Lord for that. But we gotta be careful not to get wrapped up in this word of faith, name it, claim it garbage that people try to pass off as Bible teaching. What I mean by that is, God can and God does do all kinds of things. Sometimes he doesn't. And when I say he doesn't, what I mean is he doesn't do it the way you want it done. He don't do it in the time that you want it. He doesn't do it the way you want it. Some of us might have to. There are people, good, godly men and women in this world who will live their entire lives in pain, in their entire lives in suffering. There are good, godly men and women who are trying out the Lord and have short lives because of disease, because of suffering, because of martyrdom, all kinds of reasons. God is no less faithful. I want you to see this. That's why I'm telling you this. I want you to see this. Go to verse 49. While he yet spake, so he's talking to the woman in verse 48. Verse 49, while he's speaking, there's somebody that comes from Jairus' house and says to Jairus, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not, Master." It's the worst possible news. He says, it's over. It's terrible. It's done. I know you went to get Jesus. This servant probably said, something in their head's mind, I know you went to Jesus to try to get healing for the daughter, but she's dead now. It's over. Nothing else should you do. It's done. And everybody is in mourning. If you go to verse 50, I lost my place there. It's in verse 52. They wept and bewailed her. I mean, the whole house is in full mourning because this little girl's died. You can imagine why they would feel that way. But Jesus, when he hears this in verse 49, they say, the daughter's dead, don't trouble the master. But Jesus, when he hears it in verse 50, he says, fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. He says, don't worry, I got a plan. He goes on to explain his plan in verse 51. He gets everybody out of the house except for a few people. And he says, I want you to get everybody out here. And he does what he does. Of course, you'll see in the last part, verse 54, he calls the girl and all that. He's got a plan. Then in verse 52, everybody's crying. They're weeping. They're wailing. But he says to them, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And it's hard for them to believe that. Verse 53. They laugh at him. They laugh at him scorn. They say, and you may say, well, that's disrespectful. This is Jesus. He can do all kinds of things. I know he can. You know he can. They didn't know that. Can I just go ahead and put it in your situation that you may say, well, I thought the Lord answered prayer, but why did this person die? Why is this person no longer with us? Why did this disease not get healed? And what we can do is just like these people, because we don't understand it. It feels bad. It feels like we know Jesus can do a lot of stuff, but it feels really bad because we don't get the answer that we want. And they're mocking Jesus. I don't think they're being disrespectful. They're literally saying, she's not sleeping, Jesus. She's dead. She's not with us any longer. That's what they're saying. But Jesus then goes and he does the impossible. Can I just make sure y'all understand that this little girl is dead? I mean, what we call dead, he uses the word sleep, and I understand that, but he means that she's dead. We all know she's dead. But look what he does. He does the impossible. Verse 54. He takes her by the hand and he says, "Maid, arise." He calls her and says, "Please get up." And then what happens? Her spirit came again and she arose straightway and began to give her meat. Jesus is able to raise this little girl from the dead, and I recognize that he can do that. Now, I don't know how y'all's life is, but I imagine yours is a lot like mine. Where there are people that have died, and you buried them. Jesus didn't come and raise them back to life, did he? Again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he didn't do that. What is going on here? And if you're not wrestling with this, you're not thinking about what Jesus is saying. You need to wrestle with this a little bit. Here's what I want you to hear. So one day we are all going to face the end. It is going to happen. You may say, "Well, I'm not old enough," or "I'm healthy," or "I feel good today." Whatever your excuse is, I'm just telling you, as much as we want to ignore it, and nobody likes to face it, especially Matthew telling it, I do not like to think about it. I tell you, it bothers me to think about this stuff. I apologize to admit that to you, but that's the truth. I don't like to think about this, but we're going to have an end one day. It's going to happen. There's going to be a point where we can't say, "Oh, it's going to be all right. You'll get over it." It's going to be a point where those eyes are going to close and it's done, it's over, and we do not have any more time on this planet. That has happened to some that have gone before. Y'all know that. You can think of the names, people that are in this church, some of your own family members that are not here because we had to call it the end. It's over. We had to bury them. And you're going to be upset when that happens. There are going to be people around you, if it's you that's passing, that are going to be upset because of that. And it's going to be a terrible day. One day, it's going to be a terrible day. It has been a terrible day for some of you because you've had to bury people that you love. But that's when Jesus does the impossible. You may say, "Well, they're not with us." Hang on with me. He is going to resurrect his people. I want to ask you, I don't normally do this in my preaching, but I want to ask you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because I want y'all to hear what Paul says about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says in chapter 15, verse 51. A very long chapter, but we're going to go to the end of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. This is what Paul writes. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's what I need y'all to hear. First of all, for those of you that have grieved because of the loved ones that you have had to bury and that you have cried over and even still mourning over, if they are believers in Jesus Christ, because Jesus fixed this broken thing, you can be reunited with that loved one one day. That he will raise them from the dead. He will call them from the grave. He will see them. He will do that. This is true. This is hope. This is the future that we have to look forward to. If it's not true, then we're all miserable. We might as well hang it all up if it's not true. But because it's true, I have something to look forward to. Because Jesus, in his victory, is going to call that loved one from the grave, and they will live forever. But it ain't just about them. Y'all are sitting here. See, I'm not talking to your loved one that's buried. I'm talking to y'all right now. One day you will face death. And you can, because of the victory that we have through after Jesus Christ, because he will call your name if you are a believer in Jesus. He will call your name and says, arise, and you will get up, and you will have victory. You will have life. You will have eternal life. You'll have resurrection. He does that today. What I'm trying to get you to see, please hear me really loud and clear. God will answer your prayer, and we're going to praise him every time he does. Sometimes he ain't going to answer it the way you pray it, but I promise you he'll heal every one of you. I promise you he'll raise every one of you from the dead if you're one of his. One day, and we will see him face to face. We will be together forever, for eternity. We can always count on him, even when it's the end. Even when those nice little sayings we like to say to each other, it's going to be all right, we'll get through it. It's not going to be true. He's still true. He can still fix it. He can still do it. Are you alone in what you're facing? Are you sick? Are you tired? Are you hurting? Are you, or are you ready? If you're not there now, are you ready for that day that will be the end? I hope that if the answer to any of that is, I'm not sure, I don't know, I need some help, that you will see that the one you need to go to is Jesus. And I want to invite you this morning to come to Jesus. So, Matthew, I'm already saved. Well, that's why you need to go to Jesus. He's your Savior. He's the one who loves you. You need to go to him. You can come forward. I'll pray with you. Others will pray with you if you'd like to do that. If you want to do it where you're seated, please do it. But call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name. Call to him. Would you come? Would you come? Would you call him? But you may say, well, Matthew, I've never been saved. I need salvation. You definitely come on. I want to talk to you. I want to show you. In fact, if there's more than a couple of you, we got three or four people here we can talk. We don't want you to leave without the Jesus who's going to raise you from the dead and give you eternal life. That's what I want you to have this morning. I want to make sure you have it. Y'all stand. Vanessa will come and play. Let's pray. And you respond as the Lord moves you. Lord, please help these people to see that you're ready, poised to fix them. You have the power. You promised to do it. Lord, when we're hurting and when we're alone and we're at the very end, please help us to hope in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.